93.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com presents the Mid-Columbia Today Show with Mark Bailey. Special thanks to our sponsors, Skyline Health and Del Carpine Automotive. Now, here's Mark Bailey.
Good morning. It's 8:05. I'm Mark Bailey, Mid-Columbia Today. It is a Thursday, the 19th of March. Thank you for joining us this morning. And here is what we're doing this morning. First part of the show, Jacob Powell from OSU Extension is going to be with us. We are going to talk about, with him, a farm financial planning workshop scheduled for Tuesday at Fort Dalles Readiness Center in the Dalles. They're going to do this both in person and online. Actually, I said Fort Dalles Readiness Center. That's wrong. You'd be close. It's at Columbia Gorge Community College in one of the buildings there, which the Readiness Center's on that campus, but it's not going to be in the Readiness Center. I don't know how I thought that was going to be that. Second half of the show, Hood River County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer and Administrator Allison Williams will join me in the studio. And we will talk about Hood River County. They couldn't be on their normal spot here a few days ago, so we will bring them in this morning. But anyway, before we get to all of that, let's first, as we always do, tell you about what this day has meant and what it means, at least to some people. This day in 1931, Nevada Governor Fred Balzer signed a measure that made the state the first to legalize gambling. That's where it all started, folks, right there. 1945, during World War II, more than 800 service members were killed when a Japanese dive bomber attacked the carrier U.S. Franklin near Japan. 1953, the 25th Academy Awards ceremony was first to be televised. The Greatest Show on Earth would win the Oscar for Best Picture. 1965, archaeologist Eli Spence discovered the wreckage of the SS Georgiana, a Confederate ship, that had sunk near Charleston, South Carolina exactly 102 years earlier. 1966, Texas Western, now the University of Texas at El Paso, became the first team to start five black players in the NCAA basketball tournament's championship game. They defeated top-ranked Kentucky in the final 72-65. That was a major, major moment in sports in this country, that game. And, of course, the NCAA tournament. First four games were played the last two nights. The tournament proper is starting tonight. And today, actually, it's starting about an hour. They're on TV all over the place. Gonzaga plays at the Moda Center tonight at 7 against Kennesaw State, the one Northwest team that is in it because, of course, Oregon, who usually is in it, really had a rough year. Wow, they had a rough year. 1987, televangelist Jim Baker resigned as chair of his PTL ministry organization amid a sex and money scandal involving Jessica Hahn, a former church secretary. I don't have time to tell you the story of that because this was big in my high school and college years. But just one of the many televangelists who eventually we found out really weren't who they said they were. 1995, 17 months after announcing his retirement from basketball, Michael Jordan returned to play in the NBA with his former team, the Chicago Bulls. He would go on to win three more NBA championships along the three he and the Bulls had already won. And this day in 2003, in a televised address, President George W. Bush announced the coalition forces had begun an invasion of Iraq. Bush would declare victory just over 5 weeks later in his mission accomplished speech. That was debated at the time and probably is still debated today. Days for today. It is absolutely incredible kid day today. Which I think you put most kids in that category. It is Certified Nurses Day today. It's Clients Day today, which actually if you're in the business where you have clients, you should always actually make every day Clients Day. It is Companies That Care Day, which I guess goes on along with that. It's Let's Laugh Day, which, again, that's what we probably should do every day. Take a little time to see the humor in life, because goodness knows we shouldn't take most of it seriously. It is a National Poultry Day. It's also a National Backyard Day. And it is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Day today. I don't know if this is the day they came on TV, or if it was a movie, or the cartoon, or whatever. It is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Day, nonetheless. Heroes in a Half Shell. I know the tune. I really didn't watch it, but the tune when they first came on went around. It was very catchy, actually. our food today. It's Oranges and Lemons Day today. I'm surprised it's not Scurvy Day as well. And it's also National Chocolate Caramel Day today. So, enjoy that. Get a Rolo. I assume they still have Rolos. Oh, Cameron, our representative of youth, is nodding his head, yes. Cameron Eisenberg is here producing, if I did not mention. It is 8:10 in the morning. That's what we've got for what it's worth. Probably not a whole lot. When we come back, we'll talk to Jacob Powell from OSU Extension right after this.
Hey, have you noticed all the new eye-catching business signs, banners, and logos all over the Gorge?
Rage Graphics with an X and Design.
Get the word out!
Yeah, good. That's the point.
Rage Graphics and Design. For sign design, three-dimensional carved signs, banners, embroidery.
So the other day, I asked this guy, hey, are you staring at me? He said, no, I'm staring at your logo.
With Rage Graphics and Design, they'll stare at you, too.
217 East 3rd Street in the Dalles. Call 296-SIGN. Online at RageGraphicsWithAnX.com.
Get the word out.
There's a world of opportunity out there, beyond the typical 9-to-5, where purpose and grit come together, where the American spirit and ingenuity are welcomed in places that could really use your skills and your experience. We're talking about the Peace Corps. With volunteers living and working in communities around the globe, it's been called the toughest job you'll ever love. Tough, because it asks so much of you. To dig deeper, get your hands dirty, to go that extra mile, to rise to the occasion and meet challenges head on. And the love part comes from being part of something bigger than yourself, from building bonds that last a lifetime. It's knowing your hard work transformed lives, including your own. After 65 years, the Peace Corps is still the toughest job you'll ever love. Explore opportunities in more than 60 countries, learn about benefits and apply at peacecorps.gov/serve.
We would do anything for our kids, and sometimes the easiest things are the most important things, like checking the back seat when we get out of the car. Children get left or trapped in hot cars and die of heat stroke every year. All it takes is one distraction and the unthinkable can happen, especially on a warm day. We can prevent these tragedies with one easy habit. Always stop and look for kids before you lock your car and walk away. It only takes a second and can save a child's life. Remember, stop, look, and lock. A message from ODOT.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
And we are now joined by from Oregon State University Extension, Owosco and Sherman Counties, Jacob Powell joins us. Good morning, Jacob.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
All right, how are you doing today?
Great this morning.
You are going to have a farm financial workshop on Tuesday morning at Columbia Gorge Community College in the Dalles. I said Tuesday morning. It should be Tuesday afternoon, actually, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we've talked before about similar things to this, and at times it's been about succession planning. This is a little deeper dive into farm finances overall, isn't it?
That's correct. And just the farming margins continue to tighten, so we're hoping to put on this workshop to help farmers kind of do a deeper dive on their expenses so they can better plan for the tight margins that they're facing, unfortunately, over the, probably for the next year here.
We know that farmers have been experiencing rising expenses like all other businesses over the last few years, but particularly in the last few months. I would assume fuel costs are now becoming a real pinch and labor costs are a real pinch. Those are just two areas. Are there other areas that we are seeing where these expenses continue to put a squeeze on our ag producers?
Especially right now, unfortunately, the rising price of oil is also really tightly connected to the price of the fertilizers that all the farmers use. And so we're seeing that the prices of those fertilizers are going up. And in many places, it's hard to get fertilizers right now just because a lot of the fertilizer companies are kind of holding on to their inventories, waiting to see how they want to price things out, primarily due to the conflict in Iran.
And I assume for at least many of our crops right now that this would be a time to fertilize, I would think, from my amateur standpoint.
Yeah, a lot of the wheat producers have put more fertilizer in the ground in the fall, but a lot of our orchard producers do some fertilizer applications now. hay producers do some fertilizer applications in the spring. So it really is not coming at a great time for many producers, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mentioned expenses, but also I know at least that I know the cherry farmers had a rough year last year, and I don't detect for the pear farmers it has been a banner year coming out of last year. I'm not quite as in tune with, you know, the wheat, the grain producers. What have their prices been like?
So their prices are also unfortunately not doing as well as they have in the past. A big part of that is, you know, just like the fruit crops, when everybody has a good year, the market is flooded with good product, and so that drives down the cost that the farmer gets, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're seeing locally, regionally, and across the United States, high remaining wheat stocks, meaning that we've had really several great years of harvest, and so we have a lot of excess wheat that's in storage still. Part of that is people are holding on, waiting for price improvements. And then also globally, the main competitor for the wheat that's exported out here comes from Australia, and so they've also had record-breaking crops the last 5 years, and so there's just still a lot of remaining wheat on the market from previous years still.
So this workshop, as we mentioned earlier, it's going to be, you know, really a broad look at financial planning for agriculture producers. Are there particular areas for our ag community where financial planning is maybe a little more difficult than it is, say, for the average business?
Well, I would say it definitely depends on the product. I think a lot of our orchard producers, they have several different varieties they can choose from, and it's a very long-term investment for them, too. Once you put a block of trees in, that's a really long-term investment. Also, my wheat producers, you know, there's pros and cons of different varieties they can use, but it's a shorter interval with them. It's a, you know, annual investment that they're putting a new crop in the ground. They're harvesting that next year, and then they can change their decisions the next time. Labor issues, obviously, labor is becoming harder and more expensive. Likewise, for a lot of the large wheat producers, you know, they don't rely on as much labor, but they definitely have a lot of equipment expenses, and so trying to help people understand with interest rates and other things just how much harder it is to pay off some of the newer equipment that's out there, and it's also more expensive than it used to be as well. So some of those expenses can be a little bit more harder and nuanced than just simply looking at your input costs for the years, but thinking about more of those long-term expenses with, you know, equipment depreciation and those interest rates as well.
The Oregon Agricultural Trust, I understand, is partnering with you on this.
That's correct. And a lot of this curriculum is a curriculum they've recently designed and they have put on in other parts of the state with great success. And so we're hoping that's also going to be beneficial for the local producers here as well. We also are planning a more involved succession planning workshop probably this fall. So, you know, producers won't necessarily have to come to this one to go to the next one we're planning, but the hope is, you know, kind of make people explore those financial planning skills a little bit this next workshop and then do more of a deeper dive with succession planning in the fall. And you know, one of the challenges with these tighter margins is obviously it's a lot harder for a beginning farmer to afford new farm ground right now just because the commodity prices are so low, it's going to take a long time for somebody to pay off new ground, unfortunately. So I think it's more important than ever for people to think about, you know, the future of the land that they're currently farming. And there's also increasing pressures from energy development in the area as well. And so I think it's critical now more than ever to think about where the land is going, who the land is going to next.
Is it difficult for many of our family farm operations in particular, where everybody's probably doing 3, 4, or 5 jobs on the farm, is it difficult for them to keep up with a good financial plan? I mean, maybe they established one a few years ago, but again, you're always working. It's like any other business. You start to fall behind in some areas that maybe aren't necessarily what you consider an immediate need.
Right. Yeah, so that's, you know, hopefully this workshop might help people think about some of those expenses we're maybe not thinking about that maybe we could tweak and save some dollars on a little bit. And you're right that a lot of the, you know, you take care of the immediate issues, take care of your crops and your livestock, and sometimes it's easy just to do another year of your taxes and kind of forget about taking another look. Mm-hmm. And I think now, you know, we are in a unique situation with the rising cost of some of these inputs that could really be beneficial for somebody to rethink their operation a little bit at this time.
And I'd imagine, you know, when we talk about business plans and financial plans, we're not just talking about the here and now. I assume part of this discussion is thinking about what you may need, you know, 5 years down the road.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of how it ties into some of the succession planning as well, of there may be unexpected expenses in the future that you're not thinking about right now.
So this workshop, here's the good news. This will not be an expense because this is going to be free.
That's correct. And we also have some light refreshments and drinks planned as well, sponsored by Bank of Eastern Oregon. And so, yes, this workshop is free. We appreciate RSVPs, but those are not necessary. If you end up having the time to come at the last minute, we encourage you to come. Again, Tuesday, March 24th, 1 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. At the Columbia Gorge Community College. It's going to be in their newer Building 3, Classroom 3.203, which is on their main second floor there as you walk in the door from their parking lot. Also, we are going to have this broadcasted on Zoom, so if somebody wants to get in touch with me, we can also give you the Zoom link, and we will record it, so it will be accessible for people of you, most likely on our Extension YouTube channel.
And I was going to say, A, you can go online and watch it live, and number two, you can also, again, later watch it, because sounds like you're going to have a recording of this, so that way, if somebody's trying to get something done in their ag business, don't have time today to do it, or a time on Tuesday, they have a chance to watch it at their leisure.
Yeah, and perhaps maybe there's other family members that you want to have watch it that don't want to come in person. You can watch the recording later. I also want to put in a quick note that there's also going to be a tree fruit economic symposium put on by my colleague Ashley Thompson that is on April 8th at the Discovery Center. So April 8th, 9 a.m. at the Discovery Center. There's going to be another financial training that day as well. That's going to be more involved from 9 to 2:45 in the afternoon with the catered lunch. And just again, you know, if this workshop next Tuesday is intriguing to you, I think this one on April 8th will also give you some good tools. For anybody, even if you're not necessarily in tree fruit production, I would say livestock and hay producers and wheat producers could also benefit from this class on the 8th.
So again, it is the Farm Financial Planning Workshop, though, coming up Tuesday at the Columbia Gorge Community College, Building 3, Classroom 3.203 in the Dalles, 1 to 3:30. If you want to go in person, you are welcome to do that. Again, though, you can RSVP. Where do people go to RSVP?
So one of the easiest ways is you can call me directly at 541-298-3581. You can also email me directly. We do have a link here that's going to be hard for people to write down over the radio here, so I'm not going to be too worried about that. But again, if you email me, my email is jacob.powell@oregonstate.edu, and I can get you connected with the right information.
All right, so you can attend that again on Tuesday. Again, we'll be talking about business plans, balance sheets, cash flow budgets as well, and I don't think it's on our community calendar, but we will get it up there today, and we'll have the link for that registration link up there in our GorgeRadio.com events page, so that'll be up sometime this morning. Jacob, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it as well. You have a great day.
Have a great day. Jacob Powell from OSU Extension with us. Again, that's going to be Tuesday, 1 to 3:30, Columbia Gorge Community College in the Dalles. The Farm Financial Planning Workshop with OSU Extension, the Oregon Agricultural Trust involved in that. 8:24 in the morning. When we come back, we'll take a look at the news right after this.
So my friends over at PureTalk have been sending me customer feedback from ConsumerAffairs.com, where thousands of people rate and review the top wireless providers. Here, for instance, is a nice note from James in Raleigh, North Carolina, who writes, quote, "After hearing Mike Rowe's ad, we made the switch to Pure Talk, and we couldn't be happier. We went from spending $1,200 a year with T-Mobile to $420 with Pure Talk. Thanks, Mike. Switch today!" Exclamation point. Pure Talk is saving James $820 a year. And because he literally wrote the words "switch today" in capital letters with an exclamation point, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate this commercial to him. So folks, take it from James in Raleigh, North Carolina. Pure Talk can give you unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data for just $25 a month on the same 5G service the big guys are overcharging you for. Just dial #250, say Mike Rowe. You'll also save 50% off your first month. That's #250 to save an additional 50%. Thanks, James.
Want a great floor without the hassle? Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets has been flooring the Gorge since 1992. At Affordable Floors, we offer a 60-day customer satisfaction guarantee on all Abbey products, free in-home estimates, expert design help, and professional installation to get the job done right. Visit us online or stop by Affordable Floors and Abbey Carpets today and let Larry, Morgan, or Shelby walk you through the newest designs from carpet, hardwood, laminate, and ceramic tile. Visit us at our showroom at 1512 Osprey Drive in Hood River.
It's time for the excitement of Hood River Valley Eagles baseball and softball. Stay with 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and online at GorgeRadio.com for Eagles baseball and softball all spring. The Eagles on KIHR are brought to you by Hood River Supply, Brown Roofing, Hood River Valley Parks and Recreation, and Hood River Les Schwab Tire Center.
The Eagles softball team hosts Pendleton Friday at 3:45 on KIHR.
Coffee for Mid-Columbia Today guests is provided by Hood River Coffee Roasters, the gorgeous local coffee roasters, on Tucker Road on the Heights in Hood River.
#826 in the morning in Mid-Columbia Today. Before we get to the news, we will tell you that Bi-Mart is coming to Hood River. The Cascade Farm and Ranch is being transitioned into a Bi-Mart. And you can actually, today I'm being told, go over there. It's in the Rosar Shopping Center, of course, and we are going to be able to get Bi-Mart memberships for the Bi-Mart in Hood River starting today, I was told. And if you have a Bi-Mart membership, say, in the Dalles and you live in Hood River or some Portland area Bi-Mart, or I don't know, maybe you have a Bi-Mart membership in Eugene or something, I don't know, you can transfer that membership to Hood River, which I guess is important. Because, you know, they still, you know, do the lucky number thing. You know, lucky number on your memberships and you win stuff and kind of cool. So anyway, if you are wanting a Bi-Mart membership, and they're not a bad idea, or if you already have one and you want to make Hood River your home store, apparently starting today, you can go over to what will be the Bi-Mart, the Cascade Farm and Ranch location at the Rosar Shopping Center in Hood River, and you can go on ahead and shift your membership to Hood River or just get the membership that you need. So Bi-Mart will be in Hood River, Rosar Shopping Center on the Heights. Anyway, now the news. The Port of Hood River Commission discussed keeping tolling operations going for the Hood River White Seminary State Bridge running smoothly. When construction of a new bridge begins, when the work on the new bridge starts, it will require moving the toll booth to the east or perhaps reducing the number of lanes from 4 to 2. Port and Bridge Authority Commissioner Catherine Thomas said there is a concern around making sure they don't lose tolling because there could be more wide-open area that could cause issues for focusing license plate cameras in the correct location. Maintaining toll revenue is also important to the Bridge Authority as it supports loans that have been gathered to build the new crossing. The Columbia Gateway Urban Renewal Agency Board discussed a matrix of 51 different ideas on how it can support revitalization of downtown The Dalles. One idea that got some support is a business expansion and creation grant program based on something currently being done in Pendleton. Agency manager Jacob Anderson said these would be fairly small grants, but they can bring positive results. URA board members were supportive of the idea. Finding a way to reduce the cost of system development charges for businesses moving into vacant and unused buildings was also brought up. The topic discussed in a workshop format, no decisions made. Wasco County District Attorney Karen Davis gave a report to county commissioners showing crime in the county when adjusted for the recriminalization of some drugs has been trending downward since 2022. A decrease in criminal referrals to the DA's office is consistent with reports from law enforcement. Davis says the office has made some changes in the administration of plea deals, leading to an increase in cases going to trial, most notably in the area of person crimes, resulting in what she termed, quote, very favorable outcomes. She added 2/3 of cases in her office come from the Dalles City Police Department. Opponents of gas tax hikes are once again suing the state of Oregon over a law that rescheduled the day of a gas tax referendum from November to May. The Oregon Capitol Chronicle reporting the right to vote on the gas tax political action committee, organized by Dundee Senator Bruce Starr and Representative Ed DeLisio, both Republicans, and the Taxpayer Association of Oregon founder Jason Williams, filed a new lawsuit in the U.S. District Court of Oregon in Portland 1 week after a Marion County judge denied their original claims, ruling the gas tax vote would remain on the May ballot. The lawsuit alleging Oregon Secretary of State Tobias Reed violated the First and 14th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution, as well as the Americans with Disabilities Act, because it did not provide Oregonians with enough time to collect the 500 signatures needed to get an argument into the Oregon voters' pamphlet before the March 12th deadline if they can't pay an alternative $1,200 fee. Current temperatures, Stevenson 51, the Dalles 53, Hood River 52. It's 8:30 in the morning. We'll talk Hood River County next.
Hi, this is Zach from Del Carpine Automotive. We're so excited to operate in our new location, just a stone's throw away from our old shop. A family-run business since 2003, Del Carpine continues to provide exceptional auto repair service for both foreign and domestic vehicles, even Sprinter vans. From simple oil changes to complex engine restorations, our experienced team is here to keep you safely on the road. Visit us at our great new location or give us a call at 541-386-3133. Del Carpine Automotive, family-owned and locally trusted.
I'm Silas Norman. Kidney disease is devastating the Black community. We're more likely to have diabetes and high blood pressure, the leading causes of kidney disease.
I have diabetes.
I have high blood pressure.
And we're more likely to have kidney failure.
My mom is on dialysis.
Black people are four times more likely to be on dialysis, yet we're less likely than other groups to get a kidney transplant. As Dr. Silas Norman, a kidney transplant physician, I can tell you that 90% of people with kidney disease don't know they have it. And every day about 12 people die waiting for a kidney transplant. But kidney failure is often preventable. Talk to your doctor about your risk for kidney disease. Insist on getting your kidneys checked regularly, especially if you have diabetes or high blood pressure.
We're the American Kidney Fund. We believe in kidney health for all. Visit kidneyhealthforall.org. That's kidneyhealthforall.org.
KIHR weather for the Gorge.
Your local forecast brought to you by SheFire. For all your fire protection needs and safety training, we're certified, mobile, local, and insured. 541-980-1181. 980-1181. That's SheFire.
Mostly sunny today with a 20% chance of rain. Highs upper 60s and the west wind to 15 miles per hour. 50% chance of rain tonight with more clouds. Lows low 50s.
Mid-Columbia Today is a public affairs program of Bi-Coastal Media Columbia River, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR and GorgeRadio.com. Now, back to Mark Bailey.
It is now 8:32 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today on this Thursday morning. As we are back, we are joined by Allison Williams, Hood River County Administrator and County Commission Chair Jennifer Ewer. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Not bad. I think we're headed to the forest today because most of this stuff involves forest land, or at least out in the rural areas in some way, coming out of the meeting on Monday. Forest policy. You've been working on this, I think, for a few months now. Potential revisions.
Actually, January of last year, January of 2024.
Well, that's a few months.
And then in our strategic plan.
Yes.
We're kind of always talking about forestry.
I can go back to 1988 for me. And
well, we're going through the periodic review. Every 10 or 15 years, we go through it. And, you know, I don't think we're expecting a lot of huge changes in it necessarily. Mm-hmm. But of course, we have to balance the fact that the county depends on the forest, the managed forest, for revenue, and there's competing interests, and we just, you know, we have to recognize that we require the revenue from the county forest, but we have to allow forest recreation, and we have to keep in mind wildlife and all of the other values that people have that the forest has for the people in Hood River County.
How much does some of this just stem from, we've talked recreation a lot, and maybe a lot more than, say, 15, 20 years ago, in terms of formal, and actually it's become managed now, and we'll talk about, maybe if we have time, one of those topics that came up during the meeting. But how much does the continued use and maybe increasing use of county forest land for recreation have an impact on all this?
Well, you know, part of it is that we, if we take the priorities that we have, revenue and then recreation and wildlife and water quality, you know, the things that aren't revenue in some ways are in competition with each other. So, for instance, we get lots of good advice from ODF&W about wildlife. And, of course, wildlife, the elk don't have somebody that sits on the forestry committee or sits on the recreational committee in person. And so we have to work with the wildlife experts to know what's happening to them. And, you know, there's numbers known about this. There are studies that tell you how dense trails can be. And, of course, having motorized vehicles on the trails is harder on the wildlife than just the mountain bikes and the hikers.
Yeah.
And so one thing that we do know is that the density of trails per square mile down here in Post Canyon already exceeds by quite a bit what's healthy for wildlife. And so one of the things I think that we need to consider is if there are places where we can make our, let our county forests remain friendlier to wildlife, which is one of the things that people really value, because otherwise the wildlife comes down and is more of a problem in the private lands.
Of course, one of the issues with recreation is it's not like you could stop it anyway. I mean, one of the moves that have been made through many of the county's action in the last decade plus has been work with people, work with responsible trail organizations to have marked trails where people should be to make it easier to manage. In fact, that's part of the side-by-side, side-by-side, I think they are.
And we're doing a very good job of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been going to the recreational trails and the forestry meetings, and Doug Theses does a great job of working with the recreation committee. The recreation community understands forestry. You can tell when you go to the meetings. They're paying attention, and they're understanding the different uses of the forest and vice versa. Mm-hmm. And so I would say that right now we have that that partnership going on really well.
So I would think the answers, like if there is an issue for wildlife, probably come from that process that's already that already exists with a group of people that understand that. They, along with the recreation, they understand the need for the wildlife to coexist as well.
Well, and, you know, the update with our forest management plan policy will lay out all of those overriding and reinforce those overriding policies and goals. And I think that is, we have people here who value their piece of how the forest is used, and from the county's perspective, first and foremost is the ability to retain that resource as a revenue source for the county, because these other interests don't contribute to our bottom line directly.
Right.
And so I think that is the balance that we're in talking about the policy to make sure that we're keeping everything in line.
And I think many of the those who are concerned about conserving the forest for some of its other values besides recreation, you know, water quality, wildlife, et cetera. I think we want to make sure that in our policy we prioritize the revenue, but we make sure that we are encouraging our forestry department to value those other things whenever possible, whenever we can afford it.
Well, Hood River County's harvest rate has always been very conservative. I mean, when I look at the history of it, if it wasn't, you'd have a whole lot less trees and a lot more flat ground out there 50 years ago.
And we would never have qualified for getting as much money from the Carbon Project.
No, right? I think about the subject, it's like, I really question, I mean, how much further the county can go differently and it's still, and we maintain a revenue stream, understanding that also timber prices are the variable that you can't manage.
Right.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, I look at it and go, Hood River County, in comparison to what I want on the federal lands, seems to me to be, it's a fairly stable, responsible plan right now under the people who are running it and under the plans you have.
And I think that's a part of the work that we're doing is to ensure that we have the policy language agreed to mm-hmm. by the board. So as we head into the update of the forest mm-hmm. management plan, that the good work that has been done in balancing all of those resources, mm-hmm. there is the support to continue that mm-hmm. In that manner.
How is the market, by the way, for timber?
So, as you know, we're in the midst of preparing our budget, and mm-hmm. so we allocate the forest funds based on a 10-year average of sales.
Right.
They're down. I mean, we're looking at probably $150,000 less this year in that distribution of the 10-year average because we are heading into a leaner market.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's happening, as you can see in the news, in the national news, if the administration, the federal administration, wants to cut more timber off of the federal lands, leaving aside the fact that I'm not sure there's the capacity for the mills to ramp up very fast, if a lot more logs come on the market, it, you know, most people can see what that's going to do to the price. And when the forest accords went through, I heard the other day, you know, log prices went up after we stopped logging on the federal forest. So if we start putting more logs into the system, the price will not be as good.
As you know from your agricultural operation. With the
well,
fruit.
I was going to say it's that pesky supply and demand fact.
That economic law you cannot defeat regardless. But you were, though, mentioning to me, Jennifer, you on this subject, it is a very much a policy wonkish, dry subject. What you haven't heard from is the timber side of this, from what it sounds like, on the forest policy. You've heard from
I'm not sure we've heard directly. I mean, people have written us letters, and but timber is actually represented on the forestry advisory committee.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But that's that's one step away from directly mm-hmm. hearing to the county commissioners.
I don't imagine, because they probably have a fairly regular contact with Doug Teese, Shute
County
Forester, et cetera. They probably are giving that input already. At this point, it's just not at the county commission meeting,
right. Correct.
Necessarily.
Yeah.
Right. So, how far are we away from finalizing all this?
Well, we did. We took it off the agenda because Doug wasn't able to be here. We were going to do it last week, on Monday. So we'll take it up at our next. We're going to talk about the policy priorities at our next meeting.
Side by side came up. A side by side trail is proposed for Middle Mountain. It's apparently for this, and I probably should explain, because I had to look up what side-by-side is. I didn't know what was going on. And it's a type of off-road vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And
we heard at the meeting that it's the most, it's the one that's selling the most right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I know nothing about these things as far as their operation, so I won't go into that. But 22 miles sounded like it was, quote, small for this, based off one of your county commissioners, Chad Munzer, who apparently rides these and had some knowledge of it. It sounds like this is one of those cases I kind of alluded to a moment ago, where this is happening in this area already, Allison, but we need some management out there, it sounds like. And actually establishing a trail would help that.
I think that's part of the thought process as the mm-hmm. Recreational Trails Committee evaluated mm-hmm. it. But the purpose of the forestry department in bringing it to the board mm-hmm. was ensuring that we're working through the process, and as the board prioritizes mm-hmm. where we want to invest staff time, is this the right one at this time?
Because what was brought up, and I don't know enough about this, or necessarily even the terrain out there, but Chad Munzer kept mentioning east side.
Mm-hmm.
Is that east side, of just east of where this Middle Mountain Trail is, where it would be larger and have more room?
Right. It's where we have the trailhead up off of Pinemont.
Okay.
That area, Surveyor's Ridge, mm-hmm. that if you look at that east side, there is the thought that there's the ability to develop a larger trail system for that purpose.
Because they move so much faster that you need more miles. And one of the things that was said was that the potential of the Middle Mountain 22 mile was really at the minimum length of what ATVs really need.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you mentioned, you know, wildlife and the forest lands. This would sound like to me, you know, when it comes to wildlife and being friendly to that, this doesn't sound to me like it would be very wildlife friendly. to be honest.
Well, and I think that's part of the concern on Middle Mountain is there is there's an elk population there, and so the east side provides more opportunity to develop the corridors like Chair Ewer was talking about. And so our recreational trails ordinance actually has a process in there where trails need to be evaluated.
Right.
The agencies have an opportunity to weigh in.
But again, this also gets something else I mentioned. They're already out there, it sounds like.
That's true, but that is true. Mm-hmm. And what happens, though, if right now it's actually perfectly legal for them to be out there on Middle Mountain on the roads. The trails are a different situation. Yeah. And so when we build a trailhead, though, and have parking, then the use increases. I don't know if it's exponential, but I think over time it probably is.
So it's more convenient.
Right, and it attracts more people, and it gets advertised. And so I think right now, yes, there's use, but once the trails themselves have a trailhead, that would probably increase a lot faster than currently.
Now, the east side area was mentioned. You mentioned, Allison, already has a trailhead.
Correct.
So obviously it's getting used already for something, I guess. I imagine, is it mountain biking and hiking, all those three sort of uses?
Yes.
I would wonder there, I mean, if you were to use the same trailhead, compatibility.
Well, I think that was part of the concern expressed by our staff on the east side, is that there is the whole process that really needs to be gone through on the east side, as well as work with some of the private property owners, Green Mountain and others. Green Diamond. I keep saying Green Mountain.
Green Mountain, I know where that is, yes. So it's not all county land we're talking about here.
Correct.
With the Middle Mountain, that 22-mile loop, would that all be county land?
I think it's a combination of formalizing some of the trails on former forest roads and things.
So where do you try to head on this? Because, I mean, we've got a lot of different variables here. You got the smaller one that appears to be easier to get done. You have the larger one that probably is preferable. And then you have limited time and resource with people and money.
Right.
Where do you start to roll on this?
Well, I think what happened is it was referred back to staff. They evaluate it. They take it back to the Recreational Trails Committee, and they give things another look. And so we will hear more about it in terms of their thought process. But they'll lay out the process for that east side. And I think what I heard from our staff is Middle Mountain isn't an urgent thing. It was an opportunity. And so I think we'll look to hear from them.
It was really interesting as a person that, like you, doesn't have expertise in ATVs, to hear really what the scale is, what the scale of Middle Mountain's capacity is for people hoping to use those trails.
Mm-hmm. Also discussed, Dog River came up. Of course, now many people are familiar with this on my show and on the news as a Dalles issue. They're looking to get transferred from the Forest Service to the city of the Dalles, about 150 acres. And it's in an area where they're looking down the road at potential reservoir expansion and either a rebuild or something of a dam that's out there. And they basically just wanted your support / I think concerns too about anything that could happen with that. And it's gotten a lot more play now because it's kind of got tangled up into the Google water stories that have been run over the last little while on various outlets. I did not catch this part of your meeting on Monday, but Jennifer, what did the county do on this? Because I think they were looking for a letter of support as this goes through the congressional process.
Well, correct. Mm-hmm. There are people in favor of this, clearly, who are trying to support Congressman Bence's bill that would have the area transferred from the lands around the reservoir transferred from the federal forest to the state the city of the Dalles. But the question for Hood River County really is, how does this interact with Hood River County? Because people have all kinds of opinions about Google, et cetera. So is it going to affect, I think our question in Hood River County is it going to affect the amount of water in the Hood River? And if it were to do so, is there anything that we can do about it? So there's a lot of things we don't know, and this will go on for years. But what we do know is that the City of the Dalles would only be able to divert from October 1st to October 31st and January 1st through April 14th for the expanded storage if they were to have the expanded storage. So there's a lot of ifs in there.
Well, really what this does is, as I understood it was, it just transfers the land ownership. There's no permitting involved here. There's no the City of the Dalles have to go through the same processes still.
The concern is that they would not have to go through as rigorous a process through the Oregon state system as they would if they were still in federal ownership.
And I frankly would debate that, frankly, depending on where the federal government goes over the next few years, that state, the state may become more onerous in this than the feds will.
Well, that's a really good point, Mark. I mean, that wasn't brought up. But so there's a whole lot of ifs out there. But they do have the right. And the thing is that they've had this right for a long time. And they have an extension until, I think, 2031.
Municipal water law is priority. And they've been doing their planning and since 1870, and then again 1999.
I'll curl back to your jurisdiction. People might be wondering why we're talking about this. Some of this is in Hood River County is the issue here. For Hood River County, is there really any issue here at this point?
So we've been communicating with the various irrigation districts, and so far they are not alarmed at what this will do, partly because the water that would be taken out during the winter months.
Right.
And it would be used. And the question is whether or not they'll get a permit to store the water, and then they'll be able to take it out. Right. So our interest in this, clearly our interest is in the irrigation, but that's partly because if there's not minimum stream flow, if there's not adequate minimum stream flow for the fish, that affects the irrigators. Mm-hmm. And so we're concerned about the minimum stream flow for the fish because potentially that could go down. But it seems as though if most of the water is going in the winter, it wouldn't. But to be known more, there's a lot to know about this. There's a lot we don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. And the tributary where the diversion is a feeder of the Hood River, one of many feeders of the West or the East Fork of the Hood River. So,
8:52 in the morning on Mid Columbia today. Allison Williams, Jennifer Ewer, thanks for being with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will come back and wrap things up for you right after this.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-887-1010. That's 800-887-1010.
Are you struggling with hearing loss? Do friends and family complain that your TV is too loud? Are you tired of asking people to repeat themselves? If you want to hear clearly again but don't want a bulky hearing aid that makes you look old, you need to try Atom X by Audion Hearing. The Atom X is a life-changing breakthrough, precisely designed by top audio engineers. Fits comfortably in your ear, is nearly invisible, and lets you adjust your sound so you can hear conversations clearly. At home, at dinner, or on the go. And right now, you can try the Atom X risk-free for 45 days. Call Audion Hearing now at 800-741-HEAR. That's H-E-A-R for a 45-day risk-free home trial with free shipping and money-back guarantee. The Atom X is lightweight, rechargeable, practically invisible, and costs 90% less than prescription hearing aids. Don't miss out. Call 800-741-HEAR for complete details. That's 800-741-4327. Hearing for everyone. Audion Hearing.
Hey Hood River, Cody here.
And I'm Caitlin from Doug's Hood River.
It's been a slower snow year.
And as new owners, we're officially spring cleaning.
Yep, so we're hosting a Doug's Garage Sale.
Come say hi and help us make room for the new season.
Oh yeah, great deals on ski and snowboard gear.
Including discounts on wind gear.
Clothing, 30 to 70% off.
Uh-huh, that's up to 70% off store-wide.
Doug's Garage Sale, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. this Thursday through Sunday, March 22nd.
Come meet us at Doug's and let's kick off spring together.
I am Heidi Headland, the quality manager at Skyline. I'm able to participate in all the patient care processes that are important, like what prevents patient falls from happening, what prevents patient infections from happening. Those type of things happen very rarely here at Skyline, I am happy to say. Skyline's a great place to stay if your family member is sick or if you get sick, because quality is a foundational aspect of Skyline Health. I am Skyline.
Tune in weekday mornings at 8:05 and keep up with community events and issues with the Mid-Columbia Today Show on Mid-Columbia's News Leaders, 98.3 FM and 1340 AM KIHR.
8:55 in the morning on Mid-Columbia Today. If you're listening live, if you're listening to our podcast, well, it's not 8:55 in the morning. Or maybe it is. We're just perfectly synced to when you're listening to it tomorrow. That is a possibility. Or if you're listening to this 10 years down the road for historical purposes, which might be really scary with some of the things I say, some of it won't age well. I know that. I am understanding of that. But tomorrow what we're going to do, we'll talk Mount Adams Chamber of Commerce tomorrow. Tamara Tappell is going to join us, talk about what is going on with them, because there's a couple big things going on in White Salmon in April. Number one, you've got the yard sale event, second weekend in April. Coming up, the big community yard sales. And then a couple weeks after that, it's the big community cleanup event they have annually in Bingen. And Tamara mentioned when she was here last month that they're making some changes to that as far as the hours are concerned. Not big changes, but little tweaks to it. And we'll talk about some of that. Also, Marty Dane's back from her winter hiatus off someplace warmer. Well, maybe it was warmer than here. I shouldn't say that for sure. I mean, it's going to be 70 today or so. But Marty's back, and we'll have some fun with her tomorrow on the show. Monday, we'll talk, first of all, about the Dallas Area Chamber of Commerce. We've got Lisa Farquharson rescheduled, because you may remember we had a phone issue on Monday. We couldn't have her on. And we'll talk to a member of the Clickattack County Commission. I believe it's Todd Andrews scheduled with us on Monday. And we'll have him on Tuesday. The mayor of the Dalles, Rich Mays, will be our guest. And Wednesday, we'll talk Washington Gorge Action Programs. We'll have some other things to talk about as well on the show. So plenty coming up on Mid-Columbia Today. Plenty of things going on in the area, including today, Community Legacy Initiative. It's shaping the future. It's on estate planning, hosted by a number of local nonprofits. 5:30 to 7:30 in the evening at the Fort Dallas Readiness Center. Also, Mid-Columbia Lions Follies. We mentioned this yesterday. Who Done It? Powered by AI. Friday and Saturday evening at 7, Sunday at 2 this weekend. More shows next weekend. Hood River Middle School Auditorium. You can get tickets at olshf.org, Oregon Lions Sight and Hearing Foundation.org, or at Wacoma Bookstore or at the door. Also, prepare to hike in the gorge. This is an important one. Saturday, 2 to 4, Stevenson Community Library. Volunteers from the Skamania County Sheriff's Office Search and Rescue will present hiking preparedness, the physical demands of area trails, and best practices to research critical information on variables like weather conditions, snow levels, terrain, and trail difficulty. Attend in person or online. To register online, go to fvrl.org. So plenty of things going on in our area, and hopefully they'll get out and enjoy the weather. It's supposed to be sunny today, not much of a chance of rain. Chance of rain for the Hood River area, at least, increases tomorrow. Not as much in the Dalles area, but in the Hood River area, the chance of rain, I believe, is getting up to 50% by tomorrow. So we'll get some rain, apparently, over the weekend. But I think the snow season is probably in our rearview mirror now. We've got what we've got. And the time we have is the time we have, and we're out of time. For Cameron Eisenberg producing, I'm Mark Bailey. Talk to you again on Friday.
Columbia Today Show is a public affairs presentation of Bi-Coastal Media, Columbia River. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station, parent company, or of the sponsors. We welcome your suggestions for future shows. Call us at 541-386-1511. If you've missed any of today's show, go online to gorgeradio.com and click on Local On Demand for our podcast version. Thank you for listening to Mid-Columbia Today.